Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts on Recovery, broadcasting to you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta, overlooking the majestic Buckhead skyline that is dark, gray, ominous, lugubrious, with no traffic because people are terrified of the next ice storm, which is impending. In Atlanta, you can find no milk, no bread, no toilet paper. No one can spare a square in Atlanta today. This is how terrified we are of the weather. Now, I saw something on the news that I wanted to just bring up here for a second. We've been talking really for months now about what you believe is the most important thing about you. If your worldview is off, nothing else can be right. And we look at things and shake our heads as believers and say, how in the world can people come to conclusions like they do? Here's a great example. If you want an example, actually, of the bankruptcy of the progressive worldview, you need look no further than this. Theresa May, from the London School of Economics, has written a paper in which she says sex offenders, including pedophiles, should be allowed to adopt. Hard to believe, isn't it? Just hard to believe. People believe things like this. It isn't that she's a bad person. She just has beliefs that are essentially reprobate. At any rate, that's something that I am clearly concerned about, as I know Dr. McGee is, and I'm going to bring him on. Robert, how are you today?
Jack, I'm doing pretty well. Can you hear me okay?
Absolutely. You sound great.
Okay. Yeah, I just checked the weather in Atlanta. I'm glad I'm not there.
You know, the thing that is good about Atlanta is that we'll be the national news whether all this happens or not because of what happened a couple of weeks ago. It was horrible. My daughter drove 6 miles and it took her 6 hours. But she was, and that was just typical. There, one of my little friends, sent a little note, say, please pray for my niece. She's on 285, that's the perimeter, has been all night long, and she has run out of gas, it's cold, she has an infant, no milk, and no diapers. And, everybody lived, but I mean to tell you, if that isn't a nightmare, I don't know what is, and I wouldn't... with an infant in the car. And, there were many acts of kindness by people. Chick-fil-A all over the city just took sandwiches to people. And yet there were others that used the opportunity to price gouge and stuff. So it's really a mixed bag. At any rate, that's neither here nor there. We are definitely... in crisis mode again, that is for sure.
Well, they'll probably overreact this time, so.
Yeah, well, we already have. It rained today, and all the kids were out of school.
Yeah. Okay. But God's arms are not shortened by this. We got to remember that, all right?
Yes.
And I want us to follow up a little bit with what we began a couple of 3 weeks ago in terms of our view of God. And for those who've gone to our website, they've seen this little YouTube video type of thing, which shows you sort of some of the breadth of the universe. And it occurred to me when I saw that Christians have such a small view of God that they didn't know Jesus made all this. And so there, you know, you're saying there, you know, God obviously saved that girl and baby who were there without gas, right?
Now, yeah.
Good focus to focus on. That he came through, even though there didn't appear to be any way to come through, you would have thought with what you just described that you would have people who were, you know, this baby and young girl would have suffered immeasurable harm, but God came through for them. And so we need to praise God for his graciousness about that. But what sort of occurred to me this week, being that I sort of, you know, like to look at the weeks, I was around a fellow, some friends of ours, right, who had befriended this young man, who at one time had been extremely wealthy, extremely successful. And in that process had come to know the Lord, right? And I was watching what was going on here, and the believers actually, I felt, were doing a very sort of a semi-poor job in the sense that they were very enamored by this wealthy young man, one. Like, God is not wealthy enough for his children. And two, there just seemed to be something off about the whole thing. I don't know. I mean, even these are believers who should know better, may know better, but it's very easy to get off track and see the circumstances and the things going on in light of what we have gone through. Now, this is very important because most people live life looking backwards. And when they do that, they have a tendency to run into things. And they have a tendency to go through things in a very difficult way and not really appreciate what God is doing because they're always looking back at what they've been through. Now, Jack, you and I know that God never promised us that he would not let us go through real hard times. All right? And yet, Christians sometimes just never get over it. You know what I mean? They've gone through, how many people do you know that have gone through a real hard time? They're Christians. They're believers. And if they would care to take a look, God save their rear. I don't know if we can say that or not, but they did. He did. And yet, they're still looking back at that hard time.
Well, I know that's true. I think that, and I'm glad you brought this up because I think this is one of the real issues that plagues Christians. When you and I became believers as young men, you know, about a half century ago. It was through the ministry of Campus Crusade for Christ. And one of the things that they said in the four laws is that God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And then they described that. And essentially, what they described was a life of being on top of everything and being very successful. And
being hyper-organized.
Yes. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. And I always told people that the reason I was really a Christian is because the girl that I was dating was pretty, because they always went after the sharp people, and I just happened to come along with as a result of it. But the whole thing was is that we were going to be able they didn't exactly say it this way, but it filtered through that we would be spared troubles that others would have. And that simply wasn't true and certainly not our experience. Plus, it's not God's way. It isn't that he saves you from things. It's that he walks with you through them to teach you things so that you become an adult, which we all wanted to just be these great, successful people without having to go through the maturing process that made us strong, resilient men in Christ, and men and women in Christ, both, for sure.
Well, I think one of the things I wish would happen to young believers is that people would teach them the graciousness of God and how they can look to him. And even if things are not... See, one of the problems we have, Jack, is that we always have this clock in our pocket. And what I mean by that is we think that certain things should just take a certain amount of time and then be over with. In other words, people should have risen to a certain station in life at a certain time. And on and on and on it goes. Just craziness. And God never promised any of that.
No.
One of
the things that I like least about being a Christian, if you want to know the truth, I really would greatly prefer for him to use my timetable, but he never, ever, ever does.
And when we see people, especially young people, as you know, I have a son who is one of the most spiritual people on this planet, right?
Mm-hmm.
And God has allowed him to slowly go through certain phases of life. And I know people are looking at him saying, well, why can't you just do what you want? How come you're slowly going through this? Well, we don't know what we're going to come up against next.
No.
What's going to happen. And I don't know why we think we have the ability to time people out. Usually what happens, it hadn't happened with Morgan yet, but usually what happens is people in his situation get anxious about the fact that they haven't arrived at a certain place yet. And I was talking to a friend of mine, and he was bad-mouthing Morgan some. And I had to have real restraint here, Jack, because I know his kids, right? And I almost said, well, I thought maybe Morgan could, work at a restaurant, date a bartender, woman, variety, and get her pregnant. I thought that would be a good use of his time. But I didn't say that, Jack. You'd be proud of me. I just bit my tongue and went on, right? But because that's what his child had gone through that he's not particularly proud of, but why is he messing with mine? You know what I mean? Because he doesn't know what he's going through or what's happened, and I don't think I should mess with his. You know what I mean? It's okay.
Absolutely. Here's the thing. There is this kind of unspoken assumption, and it's a de facto belief. It isn't a biblical truth, but a de facto belief among Christians that people, once they invite Christ to come into their lives, they change completely or close to completely, almost overnight, and their problems are gone, and their situations are turned around, and they become very spiritual. Actually, if they do, it's mostly self-righteousness. But anyway, and that they don't have to go through things that are significant and some real downturn, and that simply isn't life, nor is it scriptural, because when God takes you as you are, where you are, problems and all, and from where he starts, he has a purpose for the rest of your life that will take you through the things necessary to make you who you're supposed to be. And, if somebody said, what is a great spiritual movie to see? I'd say it's Groundhog Day, because you just go through the same thing over and over and over again until you get it right. And then you can graduate from that one. But if you don't, you'll just replicate the process for years.
Yep. I agree with
and,
that.
Yeah, and that, those are the kinds of things that happen to people. And, you know, we end up...
Well, go ahead. I would say there is a more difficult thing that can happen, too. Because a lot of people, faces that we know, come to Christians fairly early in their life, usually in their 20s, maybe earlier than that. But I think one of the most difficult things is if a person becomes a Christian in their 30s, maybe 40s, where they have become successful. Because you know what the Christians are looking at that are trying to help them. That's right. What this person can do for them. It's just an awful, awful deal, I think. But that's the way that one is.
Well, and we, you know, and then, you know, some people never seem to learn. I see Stacy's come on the line. We know that's true sometimes, don't we, Stacy?
Absolutely.
Maybe I thought she was giving it up.
What, Robert?
I thought you had given it up. Go ahead and go back to bed.
Oh, I Stacey can hear you talking in the next room, and I want to hear every bit of it. I apologize for not feeling well, but I'm here.
She's there.
Yeah, Stacy has an extra room at her house, and I'm waiting for a deal to close down in Boca, and then I'm headed to Houston. It's just having to wait that out and to be concerned about God's timing, not what other people want you to do. And that's very hard, and it's very hard for a young believer, especially if the young believer happens to be somewhat successful and the people around him or her treat her like she's really something else because of their success. I'm telling you, that is a tragic situation because most likely they will never learn the things of God because the Christians around them are going to be communicating that obviously they got together because look at all the stuff they had, not realizing the fact that most of that stuff they got when they were apart from God.
And it kind of validates the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life. And that is what is glorified so often in Christianity, is not love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and self-control, but the boastful pride of life. Well, published five books. How many have you published? Well, I've got a brand new car. Well, I've got, you know, I've got a second home in Boca. Ooh.
Yeah.
And those are the things that make people sit up, oh, well, God has blessed you. And yet, if those are never, that's never mentioned as the fruit of the Spirit, ever. And we have these charlatans, like you're going to Houston, like the guy that's in Houston, what's his name? I've forgotten his name, but he's, you know, kind of, he's very popular now. I've forgotten his name. Yeah, Gummit.
That makes good. We don't want to mention his name either.
Okay, that's probably not a good idea. All right, maybe I'll take that as a check.
So now I'm going to Houston. I don't think so. All right.
they'll be waiting for you at the airport.
Yeah. One of the things I think that you don't see it right now, like with this young man, but if someone had, if I had to gamble, which I wouldn't do ever, about what would happen to him, he has to go through really difficult times because he has learned to rely on himself all his life. Now, he's gone through a difficult life, but now he's been real successful, and people are telling him he's wonderful and great, when in fact, he just has to be broken by God, and that's not a pleasant thing to see. And for
goodness,
I remember what I was told. I was told by these Christians who go unnamed that they wanted to be successful so their children will see them being successful and know that depending on God has its benefits. Oh, I don't think that works very well. You know what I mean? I don't want my children trusting God because they say, well, you know, Dad went through some hard times, but now he's not going through such hard times. I think I'll trust God too now. No, that's not the way it works, right? We all have to come to a place.
That's just elevating the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the boastful pride of life, and trying to make those the fruit of the Spirit, which they are not. It's pretty clear, really. It's very easy. Once you get it, it's easy. And it only took me about 35 years.
Well, you were pretty quick, Jack.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, getting back to our story of the universe, one of the things that people think they can do with God is praise him enough for him to act, give him enough for him to act, et cetera, et cetera. Now, you hear this all the time. That's like giving a sucker to a billionaire, thinking that little candy sucker is going to persuade him to do something for you. I mean, how dumb are we about who God is? God has never required anything from us to be complete. And yet we think he does. Do you understand what I'm saying, Jack?
I absolutely do. As a matter of fact, just the image of offering a billionaire a sucker as something to entice him to do what you want him to do. The lunacy of it is beyond imagination, and yet that's exactly what we do so often with Almighty God. Unbelievable.
Now, it's almost the concept that there's something we can do that will induce God to do what we want him to do. That is just craziness. And but people, because they don't see how big he is, how powerful he is, how much intelligence is wrapped up in who he is, and we can see it in what he's done, they think that there's something. It reminds me of when God says, oh, by the way, Job, were you there when I put the foundations of the world in place? That's about as close as God got to going, who are you? What are you talking about here? I mean, God has chosen to love us, not because of what we can do for him, because then it would be a trade, right? He's chosen to love us because he's chosen to love us. But because we don't see how massive and how powerful and how complete he is, we think there's something we can do for him that will really, really impress him today. And how much do you hear of that from our pulpits?
Well, it's just about all you do here. And frankly, it's probably one of the reasons that as many Christians as there are in America, we should be strong and powerful. but we are essentially what we're as weak as any generation has been since Old Testament times, and a couple of the examples of the churches in Revelation. We are just not, and it's because of what we believe, not because of how we act. And we don't know who we are.
And we don't know anything. So, yeah, I mean, it just is very, it would be comical if it weren't so sad that that's how it operates, you know? I mean, can you imagine what the angels are thinking? Look at this guy down here. He's prostrate. He is saying the same thing over and over again because he's going to get the one we serve to do what this little person down here wants him to do because he's repeated himself so many times. They see who God is, and they must think, I thought this was bad to start with. This is really getting out of hand here as far as the dumbness of these people thinking that they're going to persuade their mighty God because of some yaya they're going through. So, anyhow, that's about all of that I can stand for one day.
Well, you know, and it is pretty interesting, and of course we're almost out of time, but let me just say this. We've written about some of this in The Search for Reality, and it's some extraordinarily powerful material, and it's available on our website, which is www.mcgeeandme.net, mcgeeandme.net. And if you have some special needs, you can call Stacy at 800-something. What's the number, Stacy?
460-4673.
And you need to pray for Stacy. I'm not feeling very well.
That's why I did the commercial. I knew the poor girl, and it's just like she's having a hard time. And, you know, our world is changing, but our God is not. He doesn't change at all. And he's, none of this stuff scares him. He knows what he's doing,
yeah.
And he isn't going to change, and it is all going to work out in the end, and if we're his children, we can just whine and moan and do whatever we want, but we don't need to. We can be better than that, and we can have a life that really does have love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and goodness and self-control. And if those are the things that are in us and that are growing, then we're going to be okay. And there's nothing that can harm us. And just remember this one last thing, folks. We really are just about out of time. I'm just going to say it, that as long as God still has a purpose for you, you're immortal. Nothing can kill you while God still has a purpose for you. So just pursue his purposes, and when he's done with you, he'll take you home. And that's all you got to worry about anyway. So let me just say this. Stacy, I hope you feel better. Robert, thank you so much, as always. And we'll talk again next Monday, and God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Good night.